The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
It's familiar, but not too familiar, but not too not familiar. It's a new craze. Hey, good girls, do you wanna just say, hey, I wanna? Just say, hey, I wanna.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to My Brother, and Me. An advice show for the modern era. I'm your oldest brother, Justin Tyler McElroy.
I'm your middlest brother, Travis Sherman McElroy.
I'm your sweet baby brother and 30 under 30 media luminary Griffin McElroy. And boys, it's here we are. Uh-huh. A lot of folks said we wouldn't make it to 340, but here we are. This is it now, isn't it? Is this
who said that?
Looks like we made it.
The haters and the critics and the critic cartoon with John Lovitz. I had an idea, We've been going at this for 340 episodes. We've been doing this for 19 years. Y'all think you can fight me? Fight these tears? No, you can't, because we've been going for so long, and the main criticism we've been getting from the critic cartoon is that just so stale. Just extremely stale.
Yeah, a lot of people have said it's stale now.
They said crusty. They said it's got a crust.
Says like year old wheat thins. I said, I'd still fuck with year old wheat thins. They're still wheat thins. Like, hello.
Especially if they're one of those like rosemary and olive oil.
They're like
oil
one of the flavor blasted ones. Absolutely, Travis. Pizza blasted wheat thins. Yes. So I had.
I like Triscuits better.
Whoa.
Well, now this is a whole thing.
Whoa.
Triscuits are like a single use case food stuff.
There's like Triscuits two, are.
If I Triscuits
are a better cheese conveyance than wheat thins.
Don't.
Well,
don't
just because there's more area upon which for the cheese.
Wait, hold on. Justin, did you just say you don't fuck with cheese?
I don't fuck with cheese on cracker. Like raw cheese, I don't fuck with that. You know that about me. I don't fuck with raw cheese.
I didn't know that.
I don't fuck with raw cheese.
So wait, it's got to be grilled or no? That's it? That's the only sort of...
No, it's got to be melted. I don't like the texture of raw cheese. I like cooked cheese. Pizza, cool. Yes, grilled cheese.
I got you a fucking fondue set for Christmas once. I did not know I was getting you essentially a mandatory cheese like conversion device. Right. That's right. Exciting.
That fondue set is the Ellis Island of my cheese. You have to come here first and
give me your Great American Melting Pot. Yeah.
Literally.
Okay, so listen, fuckos.
Okay.
340 is so stale. People hate it. People
like old cheese.
Like old cheese. And so I had an idea to mix up. It can be like a special episode. Maybe we do it every 340. Next one's popping up at 680 here in 2024 or whatever. And that my idea is just to change the structure of the show a little bit. It's a very special episode. You know how TV shows do special episodes sometimes where like there was the real life Simpsons that one time.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was the episode of Simpsons where you saw Homer's dick and everybody was so excited about it. And like it was a TV guide, like catch it, Homer's dick. What's it going to be like? Weird? Probably. Yeah. It's going to be like that. It'll be our Homer's dick episode. And my idea for the structure, you guys ready for this? I think it's quite clever. Mm-hmm. Shows an hour long.
Okay.
That's what new. What if we each have a 20-minute chunk of the podcast where we can do our own thing and we can kind of dial out a little bit and step back and just do what we want to do and just take a quick 20-minute break. And I'll volunteer to take this first chunk because I think that's only fair. And right now we're at 4 minutes. So right now I have 16 minutes. But during my 16-minute break, I can get some things done that I can't get done because my baby has stopped sleeping like he's in a fucking Nightmare on Elm Street movie. And I can just like go
cut
my nails.
You can take care of your dream warrior baby.
I can take care of my dream warrior baby, or I can take care of my me and sleep on the rug of my office.
Let me tell you why this is an amazing idea, Griffin.
Well, hold on. I want to tell everybody all else I want to do, and that's I'm going to wake up with like 90 seconds left and cut my nails because I've been meaning to do it for like a week and a half. And I haven't been able to cut my nails for a week and a half. So #dad life.
I love this because it's like Arrested Development sort of take on it. Like, we'll never get all the original guys in the same room again.
Yes,
so this is like a spinoff episode. Well,
and not only that, but the most commonly heard feedback we get is, I can't tell the difference between your voices. So like, no, if we don't announce it, I think we could go long chunks of the show without talking. And I don't think if we just occasionally said like, and I'm Justin, and like whoever says it, it doesn't really matter. People will be like, yeah, this tracks. I think that was all three of them.
And the chemistry between the three of us is excellent, right? That it is the witch's cauldron in which our comedy magic is mixed up, and we cast our spell like the fucking Sanderson sisters. Mm-hmm. But what about the individual one-on-one stuff? We don't get that anymore. So I'm going to go to fucking sleep on the floor of my office without a pillow or blanket or anything. And then I'm going to cut my nails, and we'll see what like you guys what you guys are bringing to the table. And then I'll come back and we'll do me and Travis and me and Justin.
This is going to be weird when we hit where Yahoo Answers would normally go, or maybe
we just won't have it there. Yeah. Yeah. Fucking shit. You're right. I wouldn't trust you guys to get the good Yahoos going.
I would trust you guys to do sad libs.
I think
you would handle it with dignity and aplomb.
A dog could do sad libs, Travis. The work that you do could be easily recreated by a dog.
Well, awesome would that be?
It would be good, though.
I might have to work that out.
That is a dog's purpose. So
to do.
Oh, listen to that. Listen,
yeah,
we got a volunteer.
She's doing it.
I love that.
She just said boner.
Oh, I love it.
So that's a good one.
These are better than mine. Oh no.
Yeah, these are really good.
I do enjoy how much of Griffin's time we've used up with this prattling on.
Yeah, I'm actually starting to feel, because now I was fine when it was like 4 minutes, but now it's like almost seven, and I could do so much stuff in the 7 minutes that I no longer have anymore. I could go to heaven, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I love that.
Do a little closet kissing. Or I could just cut my fucking nails for once, because it's getting pretty Guinness Book of World Records over here, folks. It's rough stuff.
Yeah.
Just as a test from the last time you heard me talk, I just like got up and left my microphone and just went away. I kept my headphones on so I could hear you guys, but like I was in the other room. I was just enjoying the moment.
I don't want folks to get mad at us either and say like, you guys aren't taking this seriously. This shows my everything. Are you kidding me
right now?
But I will just leave to go take a nap. I will take, yeah.
All right. Well, I'll start by carrying the load. Griffin, you obviously can't sleep now because you've only got 13 minutes, almost 12
minutes. You're right. I'll sacrifice my block.
Okay, great. I don't think we're going to do your idea, but I would like to read a question if you guys are ready.
Oh, all right.
Okay. Just, I want you to know that I'm going to spread my 20 minutes throughout the show. So if there's like a 30-second chunk where you're like, Travis hasn't said anything for a while, that's my time.
Okay.
So just your usual.
Just the usual thing.
Sort of way.
I'm probably going to zone out and like check my Twitter replies to see what people have said about me. And
hey, what's the sound?
What's that? Really? Really?
I want a munch!
Squad!
I want to munch!
Squad! Here's the thing about the munch squad, Justin, especially when you lead with it. I put about 3 to 4 hours of work into putting together a question list, and then we lead off with a munch squad, and it just...
I have told you so many fucking times, just save the ones we don't use. You never do it.
But those are old. They get stale like old cheese, Justin.
They're evergreen, Travis. Just recycle them if we don't use them. I've told you this 1,000 times.
Well, we just keep getting these topical problems.
That's ridiculous.
At the rate, Travis puts together a list of like 14 questions and then we answer 3 during the show. If we reused ones from the back catalog, we would be answering questions today like, I'm sad that Friends is ending.
Yeah, I know everybody in America has probably felt a vibe this week of like, things are really good. And I wonder if you're...
That's weird. For me, it was opposite.
Now, I'm pretty sure everybody in America has felt this way, and you haven't exactly known why. But this is about osmosis. It's about fluid intelligence. It's something, an awareness that we all share. And that awareness is that finally, after months of being denied it, finally Taco Bell has dropped it on us. That's right. The Naked Chicken Chalupa is in stores nationwide as of January 26th. Here's the subhead of the press release.
Explain
the subhead of the press release explains it. The shell is the chicken. The chicken is the shell.
When you eat a sandwich and you eat a taco, you are participating in a unspoken social agreement that there are parts of your food you're allowed to touch with your bare, grubby, nasty, naked hands.
Correct.
And it's the, you know, it's the carbohydrate parts of the food experience. You can touch it right on the carbs. That's fine. And you can eat where you touched it on the carbs. And that's fine because we all agree that that's okay. This and its bastard brother, the Double Down, is such a perversion of that rule where, because that's the part of the food that is not good to touch.
Not pleasant.
It's not good to, that's not good. No, it feels pleasant. I'm sure it feels pleasant or whatever. But like, that's not the touching part of the food. It's not the carbohydrate.
Quick sidebar before we talk about this. I'm sorry that this podcast is like it is sometimes. Quick sidebar. When you guys are driving and your wife is in the passenger seat and you're on a road trip and you stop for food on the way, Sydney had this thing where she would unwrap the food halfway so I could hold it in a wrapper while I ate the food. And after 10 years, I finally told her, that's insane. I just need to hold the sandwich, like just the whole thing. Do you guys run into this issue and where do you stand on it? As long as we're talking about touching food.
My problem is that if I do that, I will be very cognizant of the fact that I don't want to eat the wrapper and seem like some sort of comedy fat man.
There's nothing worse than like pulling away and seeing a bite mark into the paper.
In their paper, but I already swallowed it and it was like, damn, that Checkers paper though. It's got like a spice to
now,
it.
That's the problem right there. Give me some flavored edible paper.
You see people like that on My Strange Addiction all the time. You know, people don't eat their mattresses. Fair. The first bite is always by accident. So
My Strange Addiction, the original Munch Squad. I want to munch a mattress.
Justin, to answer your question, if I am traveling, my food of choice is always and will always be the Dairy Queen chicken strip basket with gravy and toast within it.
Are you fucking kidding me? That when you're operating a motor vehicle, your food of choice is a dippable? It's a dippable?
I will drive 40 to 50 miles out of my way to find a Dairy Queen if I'm on the road.
Yeah.
But it's a dippable?
But it's also got gravy in it, Justin. How often do you find gravy in a fast food experience?
If you're eating fast food while you're driving, you have to let go of the fact that you will not have, like, I'm living ketchup free on this one. This one's a ketchup free mish because I can't be dipping while I'm driving. Anyway,
you've practiced it a bajillion times, which I have.
All right.
Did we ever tell the story of when we were doing the Pacific Northwest shows in Portland, Seattle, and Vancouver, and it was Riley's birthday, and she was with us, and so you stopped at a DQ, and we got her ice cream cake that was hard as cinder block, and we ate a micrometer of it, and then fucking Travis tried to give the cake back to the people at the register as if to say, you can hand out free slices to folks if you want. And then I think we just sort of set it on top of the garbage can and got back on that lonely road.
I do want to note, I wasn't trying to get a refund for the unused portion of the cake.
Travis went up there and said, you guys sell ice cream here, huh? How about you give this ice cream away for free? And they said, no. And he said, well, we'll throw it away if not. And they said, welcome to DQ. We don't care where the ice cream ends up as long as it's not here.
So the naked chalupa is the question on everybody's mind. The naked chicken chalupa. Taco Bell is coming unshelled with its latest food innovation.
It's coming unspooled. It's becoming unraveled.
Coming in the form of the first taco shell made entirely of marinated all-white crispy chicken. As if history has its eyes on Taco Bell. They did it.
First, we won the space race, and now we've won the taco shell, but it's chicken race.
No, that means you lost the Earth race if you made a chicken shell.
That's what I have to say about it. What does Marisa Thalberg, Chief Marketing Officer at Taco Bell Corp, have to say? Well, she has to say this. Something this delicious yet different is bound to ruffle some feathers. Some might even cluck their tongues at it. However, fuck, this is funny. However, we feel confident that once our fans get a taste of the naked chicken chalupa, they're going to understand exactly why this is our next big, fun, and craveable innovation. Following the footsteps of the Doritos Locos Taco 5 years ago and the queso
lupa. Oh my God, the slow march of time. It is a nightmare.
You can tell they kind of feel it though, right? Like, listen, we need another hit. We need a hit so bad. We need a hit. It's been 5 years since the Taco Loco, Taco Dorito, Taco. The shell. What's the shell? Well, it's 4 ounces of marinated all-white meat, antibiotic-free chicken, kicked up with bold Mexican spices and seasoning. And it's packed with fresh... Now, they describe the chicken there. The clause that is missing from that sentence, of course, is that has been bent into a fucking taco shell.
Into a ghoulish smile.
Also, there's diced ripe tomatoes, cheddar cheese, and creamy avocado ranch.
Justin, can I tell you why I am just the most fucking pissed off at this press release?
Oh, jeez.
Why are you in so angry?
In the first sentence, they chicken pun twice.
Yeah, and then they
and
sort of
then
drop the
nothing.
Yeah, I'm in the desert right now. Yeah. Looking for a good chicken pun oasis, but there is none.
I do want to just point something out very quickly.
Please do
on
this.
The antibiotic free section. There's an asterisk. Horrifyingly, there's an asterisk. And if we scroll down to the end of the press release, it says antibiotic chicken in this case means chicken raised without antibiotics important to human medicine. Okay. So, what you mean?
This chicken does not have rubella. Good. Good.
So it doesn't
have. We give this chicken penicillin. Don't you worry.
Okay. Great. But other ones? Yeah. But it's antibiotic free. You got it. Eat your chicken, tubby.
And you're going to have to enjoy it on a wing and a prayer.
If this is the last episode of our show, there's not a Mabim Bam 341. I want everybody to know it is because I have walked into the Taco Bell that is around the corner from my house, and I did have a bomb strapped to my chest, and I did demand that they make me a Doritos Locos chicken chalupa mistake taco.
If you think that isn't fucking common, you don't know these motherfuckers.
Can you blast it and then crunch wrap it? What, sir, I can't look at my chest. Look at the device. Crunch wrap and blast the chicken shell. I have nothing left to live for. I'm in a Taco Bell ordering food hacks. Give it to me.
Spray the chicken with Doritos dust and then wrap it in cinnamon sugar,
crunch,
cap and crunch.
Wrap bite. It. Why are you having trouble with this?
That's a flavor that'll give them something to squawk about.
That would be good to demand it in a crunch wrap and they say, well, sir, to do that, we'd have to have a flat chicken piece. Like, yeah, I know. Can you imagine?
Yes. Can you imagine flat chicken?
Feeling peckish?
Stop it.
Travis? Take your 20 minutes.
It's something to crow about. It's in there. I haven't.
Yeah, that's right. We use
that
all natural antibiotic free crows in our naked chicken.
No, like a rooster crows.
If antibiotic
free. Do you want a bite of this? Yes, you cockle doodle do.
If antibiotic free means some antibiotics, then naked chicken chalupa could certainly mean naked crow chalupa.
These are crows that spent some time with chickens, like during spring break.
Hey, listen, I don't want to panic anybody. Yeah, Reggie, I've been the lead food scientist here for how long? It's about 10 years. You've really been fucking it up. Yeah, no, listen, yesterday I killed a crow. And when I carved its breast from its body.
I carved the flesh. No. I collected the bones for the ritual.
I carved the breast meat. Normally I would discard it. And then I came upon a terrifying realization.
It was a perfect U. The breasts of the crow had formed a taco shell. This is a sign from the ancients.
Margaret, can you bread this shit?
Bread this for once. And Margaret, we're going to need more crows.
You are thinking far too far outside of the bun. You need to think a little bit closer to the bun. You need to think a little bit closer to the bun. You're as far from the bun as, like, you're on some, like, Lovecraftian, like, Miskatonic University. That's how fucking far you are from the bun. You need to leave the university and move just, like, a few miles closer to the bun, please.
People forget that, like, outside the bun encompasses all existence that is not contained within the bun. There are no borders on being outside the bun. Limits are what keep society on rails, Taco Bell. Get back near the bun, please. Please keep the bun in eyesight.
We're talking like some seventh or eighth meal shit at this point. I'm terrified.
We're on eighth meal. Everything's topsy-turvy. Get back on the bun, Taco Bell. I want Taco Bell needs to way overcorrect, and their next thing is like, we made a hamburger. We're sorry. We're sorry. We're sorry. We're sorry.
It's in the bun.
We're in the bun. We're in the bun. We're in the bun. We're in the bun. Let's just keep this fucking fast food train rolling real quick, because I have a really good Yahoo here from Brooks Oglesby. Thank you. It's from Yahoo Answers user Rebecca. Altaba user it's just going to take me a while. Altaba user Rebecca asks, what is Wendy's policy when you're lost? Is it true that if you go through the drive-thru at Wendy's and say you're lost, they have to give you a free cheeseburger?
What?
Hey, I don't know where I am, and I thought I was supposed to be here, but I'm not. So, yes, sir. Pull around. You know the drill. Get your free cheeseburger.
But not directions?
No. Well, look under the bun, Justin.
Where's I-10? I'm trying to get on the 10. Oh, good luck with that. Here's your cheeseburger. No charge. Having a rough day, huh? It can be scary being lost. It can be scary being lost. What if you're a little kid? I can't find my parents. Oh, shit. Here you go. I'm sorry about your folks. You don't even have a car. Do you have a phone or anything? No? Well, shit. Can I use your phone? No. Here's a burger though.
You know,
here's the thing. We laugh, but can you, Justin and Griffin, can you tell me 100% that Wendy's will not give you a free cheeseburger if you are lost?
That's what I'm saying. I don't know. Dave Thomas is a kind soul, probably. I don't know.
I'm just saying.
I think Dave Thomas probably, if I remember this urban legend correctly, Dave Thomas used to hand deliver the hamburger. You would pull up and say you're lost. There would be a beat, and then your passenger door would open. Hey, you having a little bit of trouble? Yeah.
Like a Saint Bernard. Yeah. He would come find you
with a fucking
and bring you back to the Wendy's.
Wrapped around his neck. You could nibble.
And you had to eat it off his neck. You couldn't remove it from his neck. He was a nasty, nasty old man.
Now the problem is that once Dave Thomas saved you, you then owed him a life debt and you would have to come work at Wendy's for a fair wage. This was not this was not taking advantage of people. That was just how he hired people. And that way you were never lost again because you just knew you worked at Wendy's.
Now sometimes Dave Thomas would wear his neck burger on like a long chain, so it would just like sort of be greasy on his bare chest.
Mm-hmm.
And so you'd be in there and you'd be like, I'm lost. I'm trying to find, I'm trying to get on, Research Highway. And, but then Dave Thomas is there. And he's like, but now you're found. And he just sort of puts his chest like on you.
I know where Dave, I don't know where I am. I know where you are. You're home.
I know where you are. I know where you're going to be.
You're at your home right now. Wendy's? That's right. Shackle noise.
Now I'm actually doing, I'm doing gluten free. So can I get a cup of chili? Oh yeah. Hold on.
Oh, why do we serve it so hot? Quick.
Listen, I'm a good guy. You're not going to want to eat the chili. It's just cut up hamburgers that we couldn't sell. You knew that, right? Okay.
It's cut up hamburgers and ketchup and we make it real hot. We don't even put beans in it. I don't know how the fuck they get in there.
Where are these beans coming from?
We've discovered some sort of alchemy that turns salt packets, they just turn into beans in the cauldron.
90s kids will love this. Did you know that there was no beans in the Wendy's chili? You just thought there were. And it's one of those like reality distortion things.
Huh.
During a meeting at work yesterday afternoon, I noticed a tear
Okay. I thought it was tear, but that wouldn't make sense with the rest of the sentence. I noticed a tear in the seat of a coworker's pants.
Somebody cried in my coworker's butt.
A single tear in their pants. It was vertical, 4 or 5 inches long, but very narrow. You could see his black underwear, but nothing revealing. After the meeting, I was going
to... You couldn't see his balls or whatever.
No balls on this one. After the meeting, I was going to tell him about it, but I decided not to so he wouldn't worry about it for the rest of the day. I figured he would find it as soon as he got home, and telling him about it would only embarrass him when he couldn't do anything about it. Am I good, or should I have mentioned it to him? That's from Torn in the Twin Cities.
Or Tom.
Or Tom. It looks like Tom on my screen.
RN, man, they trick you sometimes, because it just looks like the M shape. Can we lay down a blanket, so we and then we can, like, just sort of wipe any future questions like this just off the slate and lay down a blanket like, my friend had a booger, or my friend had some stuff in their teeth, or my friend, you know, and just say, like, always tell them, you may not want to hear it, it may be challenging to hear it, but you need to fucking get your shit right. And I don't know what this guy does, except maybe he goes home. Everybody's always looking for an excuse to take a half day at work.
Mm-hmm.
And this is decent justification.
For sure.
Always, if I have shit in my teeth, tell me. If I have a big, just snozberry in there, just tell me about it so I can go deal with my shit.
Also, like, you can do things. Like, there's things you can do in a context that off it. Like, let him put a couple of safety pins in there. Or maybe some fucking masking tape.
Tie a jacket around his waist.
Yeah.
Yeah, tie a jacket around the waist, safety pins, no matter what. It's going to be bringing back like a mid-aughts Hot Topic look that is really popping off again. But
I really like the question asker's justification of, like, I didn't want him to worry about it for the rest of the day. So instead, you let him get home and realize it and think about, like, all the lunges he did and all the times he stood in front of people without knowing it. So now he could worry about it for the rest of his life.
What if, but like the Bible says you should address the plank in your own eye before you worry about the dust in your neighbor's eye. What if you were like, hey, listen, you have a small tear in the back of your pants and they spin around on you and you're like, you're not wearing pants. You forgot pants today.
You have a 2x4 in your eye.
What?
What?
Oh, no! God.
And also, you just discovered that you're back in high school because you never finished that one class, so you didn't really graduate, and you have to take that math test again, but you don't remember any of the math?
Whoa, what?
Oh, am I the only one who has that dream?
It's not a dream. This was a real scenario Justin was addressing.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to figure out what scenario you might find yourself in where you're not wearing any pants, and you didn't even know it until someone said it.
It was just kind of a funny joke for our podcast, Trav. Sorry you got so hung up.
No, I like this though. I liked it. That's Travis's pitch a fun new game, and that's what if these questions are dreams? And it's an advice avenue we've never really explored before, which is like, oh, you dreamed this. it didn't happen. You dreamt it. So you're fine.
That would be a good tack to take with your coworker. Like, hey, there's a tear in your pants, but before you get worried, none of this is real.
Kiss me. Kiss me right now.
Oh, your teeth are falling out.
Now eat that stapler. It's marshmallows.
Justin, can you do the next question after this one? Because I love it, and I want to do it right now.
The one after it is great, too. Travis really did a good job.
It's too bad we're only going to get to do like one more of these, because we spent a lot of time talking about nasty chicken.
I work in an office with the rest of my company, and at the end of the day, we exchange pleasantries saying good night, have a good weekend, etc. However, sometimes my brain interrupts these rote actions and tells me, blow them a kiss.
Hey, blow them a kiss.
I've never done it. Thank God for impulse control. But the fleeing thought springs into my head up to a couple of times a month. How do I fight these thoughts down and make it go away? Or should I embrace this freedom from standard and dive in? That's from Neurotic Newark. Holy shit.
Is there a method? Is there a way? Is there a way to blow a kiss that is not childish? Like, child looking? Like, has anybody ever blown a kiss and be like, cool? Or like, professional? Or, adult sexy?
I think if you practice it well enough, you could do, like, blow kiss into finger guns. Like,
I just did it. And I think if you just, like, If you just, like, kiss your hand and then, like, very, very slightly extend it, you don't, like, create a fucking launch pad that you then boost your kiss off of, like, mm-hmm. some sort of VTOL plane. If you just, like, and then just sort of very lightly, don't even lay it flat, just, like, take it away from your face, that's kind of a cool look. Like, I know you can't see it, but it does kind of look cool how I'm doing it.
Maybe you blow a kiss in your right hand, and what's that in your left hand? A dove.
Okay, that's good.
It's direct.
I don't want you to have a bird.
I think the only context in which blowing a kiss is acceptable for a professional setting is if your job is James Bond villain and you just put him in a trap that's supposed to kill him. If you do that, you blow him a kiss, it's like that's very evil,
it's really cool.
Very taunting. I love that. But other than that, no, ever.
Oh,
I'm pretty sure.
Dang. I feel like you didn't really think about it.
Okay. Bond villain, killing James Bond, for sure. Yeah. That one's definite.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe if you just fired someone and you're a real jerk.
Yeah, that.
You could be like, arrivederci. That's good. I thought that's what you were going to say, but you said a real jerk. But, yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one, too. Or it could just be like your new thing.
I think it could be
cute. I don't know.
I mean, it would be a right? I mean, it would be a zag and a half.
Yeah, it's a zag and a half.
I like this idea of your brain as like this friend of yours who like always comes up with suggestions. And it's like, well, you know what you could try? Blowing him a kiss? And it's like, no. It's like, maybe if just once you tried it, your friend would be like, okay, thank you for acknowledging my input. I was wrong. Or maybe it is the way to go. Maybe your brain knows better. Maybe your subconscious is like, blow him a kiss. You do it and suddenly like, ooh, I like Todd's new thing. And what's that? Suddenly Todd's CEO.
Fucking 1,000 years ago, fucking Dark Ages, bim bam. It was just the three of us sitting around a stick in a swamp. And somebody was like, I conducted myself with mine surf and felt the extraordinary urge to grasp his hand firmly and shake it violently. Should I embrace this? Neurotic in Newark. And it's like, that first person was just like, give me that hand, sucker! And he grabbed it and shook it. It was like, this is good!
I like it!
I like this! I don't see why this has to be any different from that. Give me that little paw! Grunt. What are you doing? Are we fighting? No, we're not fighting, bud.
I want to go. Down. You can. I'm going to let you go. Hold on.
I'm going to let you go. I'm just going to, hey, look, I feel like we just did business. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. It's because I grabbed you.
A bit of advice on this advice show.
What about the first time somebody did a fist bump? Like, oh, God, he's going to punch me in the stomach.
Please, no, you don't
or
understand.
Or a high five. Are you going to smack me on top of the head? No, friend.
No friend.
A bit of advice, if this is going to be your new thing, if you're going to instant, you have to do it so you can't acknowledge that you've just done a new thing. You have to do it like, yeah, good night, and then go back to your desk and let them soak it in without you doing it and then kind of watching their reaction. You can't acknowledge that this is a new thing you're trying. This has to be a thing you've done a million times. You don't even think about it anymore. This is just your thing.
I found the way to describe the physical act of this kiss blow that I'm talking about. Like the cool, confident kiss blow. That's again, just a very slight, like just barely hand away from it. And imagine that you're Glenn Close and you've just met an enthusiastic young fan.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just, you're walking out of the fucking club where you've just been bumping it all night because you're Glenn Close and you know how to tear shit up. And you see a fan on the street and they're like, Glenn, you're so great. I'm so glad that you're getting back on Broadway. The kiss blow that she does in that moment of just like, she doesn't go through it all the way. It's just, and she takes her hand away from her face just a little bit. And you're like, oh, Glenn, you've got me. That's sort of the style I'm talking about.
Griffin, Justin, I feel like we are missing a big component here that we're not addressing. Because we keep talking about the kiss. I don't think that's the weird part.
Yeah.
I think it's the blowing.
It's the blowing.
That's what I'm talking about. Omit the blow. Just kiss that hand and pull it away a little bit, like Glenn would do.
But is that the same? Does that still count as blowing? That's just, mwah. But it's not the, you know, does it still count as blowing a kiss if you are just kissing without the correspondent. Because then the kiss is just hanging in the air an inch in front of you until you blow it at them.
There is a terrible risk that I had not calculated until this exact moment. If you're in a professional setting and you do the kiss your hand and then you blow the kiss over to the other person, if they catch that kiss and put it on their cheek, they have just power played you so fucking bad that you're probably going to have to like quit and give them your job and sign over the business to them or something, like depending on what your responsibilities are. But like you will never get the metaphorical ball back in that relationship.
You're going to have to butterfly kiss them if that happens.
Yeah, that's your only option.
Or what if they put it on their mouth? You're fired. You've been fired at that point.
You've been fired from your job.
Hey, guys. I just really quick, because I do think we should go to the money zone, but I did just Google Glenn Close, and I'm looking at her Wikipedia page. First of all, she's 69 years old. Nice. And on her Wikipedia page and I'm not making this up, there's like in that little sidebar, it's like Glenn Close at the Albert Nobbs premiere in 2012. She looks amazing. It tells me all about her alma mater, her many spouses, her kid that she has, her parents. And then right under that is, and you can Google this if you don't believe me, just a picture of her signature. So I think I'm gonna probably steal her identity, I guess.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Hi, I'm Glenn Close now. Catch me if you can.
I'm Glenn Farr.
Catch me if you can, Tom Hanks. Because I'm Glenn Close now, motherfucker.
The name of this show could be changed to My Brother, and Glenn. Or Miss Close. Glenn, I mean, you'll make us call you Glenn Close.
Yeah, 30 under 30 media luminary.
Glenn Close.
Glenn Close.
All right, let's go to the money zone. I'm done.
Hey, can I tell you guys about NatureBox?
Hell yeah.
I wish you would.
Cause I'm on that, I'm on that bad, bad baby sleep schedule. And now I snack to survive I eat those, Big Island pineapple, like they are fucking rings from Sonic the Hedgehog, and they are actually keeping me alive. It is a wonderful service where you go to naturebox.com and you pick the snacks that you want off their list, and then they just show up in a little, basically what is essentially a treasure chest that is sent to your house. These snacks taste great, and they're better for you. They're made with high-quality ingredients that are free from artificial colors, flavors, or sweeteners, so you can feel great about snacking. Like I said, Big Island Pineapple, pretty rad. They got whole wheat raspberry figgy bars, love those. Salt and pepper pop pops.
Do you know what I would do if I were NatureBox? I think I would release like a companion snack called like Small Island Pineapple.
Oh, that's fun.
And it's like you eat them together and like one makes you big and one makes you tiny.
So it's magic. Sorry, Justin. No. Travis just floated magic food.
Okay. Uh-huh. I mean, that would be a good thing for them to sell.
Justin, you and I need to be more careful because sometimes Travis floats things like magic food and we are like, oh, off to the next thing.
Sounds good.
But I am curious, Travis, what other sort of magic food NatureBox has that they ship you that you know about that they aren't talking about, like the deep like government conspiracy.
They're afraid
stuff
to let us know about.
Yeah.
I'm afraid I've said too much.
Oh, so you couldn't think of another. right now, you can save even more. NatureBox is offering our fans 50% off your first order when you go to naturebox.com/mybrother. It's naturebox.com/mybrother. Get 50% off your first order. One more again, naturebox.com/mybrother.
You did a really good job on that ad, Griffin.
Thank you, dude.
I think Travis probably was a little bit off his game because he was literally tweeting while we were doing that bit.
Oh, boy. Justin, give me that good tweet he was doing.
I said that his goal is to get Mabimbam verified. Can I do that? How do I do that? I still don't know how I got verified. So
Jesus, that is a very, very, very good Travis McElroy tweet.
Well, to be fair, I did tweet that during the lengthy break that we edited out where Justin ran to, I don't know, go to the bathroom, get coffee, check his, I don't know, TV to see what was on Nickelodeon.
I didn't run to the bathroom. I'm not John Candy. I walked to the bathroom. Okay. I'm not John Candy in every John Candy movie where he uses the bathroom and has to run to it. I am a gentleman and I walked to the restroom to devastate it. I want to tell you guys about another sponsor, and it's Harry's. We've talked about Harry's many times, but I love the fact that the razors don't cost. I was just looking through the razor section today. Do you know they sell an 8-pack? One of the big companies sells an 8-pack of razors for $45.
Yes,
it's what? Really lunacy. It's lunacy.
I love Harry's. Harry's is like the only like reasonable razor company in the whole world. But there's something kind of so dope about that. Like, yeah, 8 razors. You'll use them in like 2 months. $40, please. What are you talking about, Schick?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
I shouldn't have to have a budget line item for razors. Like, that shouldn't be listed among my utilities. And now I don't have to. They're just $2 a blade compared to the $4 or $5 or $6 that you'll pay at the drugstore.
Yeah. What if Downey was like, 8 rolls of paper towels? That'll be $160. Fuck you.
All their products are great, too. Their aftershave is the best I've ever used. Now, Harry's is so confident about the quality of their blades, they want you to try their shave set for free. You heard that right. Just cover shipping when you sign up. Plus, as a special offer for fans of our show, you go to harrys.com right now and enter code MYBROTHER at checkout, and you get a post-shave balm also free. It's the best, and you can get it for free going to harrys.com and using the code MYBROTHER when you sign up.
I want to tell y'all.
No, I want to.
Okay.
Okay. Do you know what? You got to do the thing with the snacks, and now I want to do this one.
I
don't
want to do it.
Listen, we only get to do this ad twice a year in the 2 weeks leading up to Valentine's Day. So let's
I know. Come on.
It's okay. Go do it, Travis. I don't want to do it.
I don't know why the sound of my little brother crying makes me so happy.
I've been looking forward to it.
You know, folks, Valentine's Day is just around the corner, and ProFlowers is making it easier than ever by taking out the guesswork. On top of their already low prices, right now you can get 2 dozen assorted roses with a free glass vase for $29.99 plus shipping and handling, or upgrade for another $9.99. You can get 2 dozen long stem roses with premium vase and chocolate. You can pick your flowers and then check it out in 2 minutes. This hasn't happened, this year, but last year, the first time ProFlowers advertised with us, they wanted to send us a sample of their product, which I thought was great. And they showed up and it was beautiful, just beautiful flowers. And you wouldn't believe these came in a box. This is fantastic. No,
they're really beautiful, pretty and nice to have around.
Except the one thing.
There's one problem.
The one problem is they send them for all the podcasts I do. So all of a sudden it went from like, oh, beautiful flowers to holy shit, I'm getting stalked. Fucking Max Medina is about to propose to me. He's just fucking packing my house with roses. And, it got to be a little bit of a burden. It got to be a little burdensome, but they're gorgeous. They're all gorgeous.
They're gorgeous flowers
for me.
But it did make it seem like Justin had just died.
When it happened to me, I felt that this must be what it's like to like fake your own death. Mm-hmm. And yeah. Get to like see the flowers people send mm-hmm. to the family. I'm like, ah. Oh. ProFlowers really cares that I fake my death. Thank you, ProFlowers.
Here's the only way to get 2 dozen assorted roses with free glass vase starting at $29.99. Just go to proflowers.com and use the code MYBROTHER, all one word. That's proflowers.com. Click on the microphone, type in the code MYBROTHER. Don't wait. This deal expires soon. Can I read the fucking Jumbotron at least?
Sure, yeah. Go for it.
Who is this message for? It's for Anna, a.k.a. Traveler.
You're not even going to read the thing right.
And it's
from... You're not even going to do the impression.
And it's from Rosie, a.k.a. Potion Seller.
Potion Seller.
Greetings,
Traveler.
Potion Seller.
You seen that video? It's fucking good. See, you don't even know the fucking meme. Listen to a big man on campus, Travis McElroy, doesn't know all the memes.
Potion Seller.
It's Traveler. You see that? Man. I used to get blazed and just fucking roll that shit. Roll that beautiful beam footage. Surprise! By now it's been... Sorry, this is now the message. Surprise! By now it's been several months since I introduced you to Mim Mim Mim. Don't know why it came out like that. And you, like a woman possessed, tore through the first 100 episodes in a matter of days. Those Sawbones is your true podcast soulmate. Thanks for being there for me during my year off. I'm so glad to be back on campus with you. Happy 21st, Anna. Great job.
I'd like to say to Rosie, thank you. That's a beautiful message. Thank you for right in the middle there, making sure to let us know that we are Anna's second favorite.
Hey, I'll take it.
Fine.
Yeah.
Fine.
Are there like Terrace House fan casts?
There is. Nick Robinson at Polygon just started doing one.
Nice.
Yeah. I don't know. Spoilers. I haven't finished Aloha State, but it's popping up.
There's
off,
only
though.
Eight eps, right? Right now?
Yeah.
Yeah. We're really pacing ourselves because we blew through season one. Welcome to our segment, Terrace House Break, where we talk about Terrace essential. House.
Yeah.
My dad asked me this week, what's Terrace House? Because he took a fucking covert snap of me during Adventure Zone recording where I was wearing the beautiful Terrace House shirt that I received for Christmas from my dear brother. And people were going nuts about it. And my dad asked me, what's Terrace House? And that it was a real, I didn't know how to explain Terrace House to my dad in a way that would make it appealing enough that he would watch it, which everybody should on Earth.
I'm Allegra Ringo.
And I'm Renee Colbert. And we host a podcast called Can I Pet Your Dog?
Renee, can I tell you about a dog I met this week?
I wish that you would. In turn, though, can I tell you about a dog hero?
May I tell you about a dog breed in a segment I like to call Mutt Minute?
I would love that. Could we maybe talk about some dog tech?
Could we have some cool guests on, like Lin-Manuel Miranda, Nicole Byer, and Ann Wheaton?
I mean, yeah, absolutely.
I'm in.
You're on board. What do you say we do all of this and put it into a podcast?
Yeah, okay.
You think? All right. Should we call it, like, I don't know, Can I Pet Your Dog?
Sure.
All right. What do you say we put it on every Tuesday on Maximum Fun?
Or on iTunes. Sounds good to me.
Meeting's over.
I have a Yahoo here. Can I read it?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay.
You're the boss.
What?
You're the boss.
Oh, okay.
You're a media luminary. If you feel like it's time for a Yahoo, you should go for it.
That's a fucking good point. I'm just going to drop it then. It's also from Brooks Oglesby. Thank you, Brooks. It's by Yahoo Answers user Rose, who asks, I bet no one has asked this one before. What rides at an amusement park are best for kissing?
You know,
do you remember having to find places to kiss? You'd be like walking in the park and you'd find like a little secluded grove and you'd think like, I should remember this for later, for when I want to kiss.
My good one was the instrument room in the band room, like the instrument closet is a good place to kiss.
That's a good place to kiss.
Good kissing in there.
I will never forget being a teen and going on a date to a movie and sitting in the back row so I can do some smooching. And then some fucking adults would come and sit like right in front of us. And it's like, I think you guys know exactly what you just did.
You've ruined me.
I think that you're being assholes right now.
Do you think I wanted to see Prince of Egypt in theaters? No. I came here for a reason, and that was to kiss and to listen to Donny Osmond sing. He's got a great voice. What are the best rides at an amusement park, though? Because Tunnel of Love is obvious bullshit. If you kiss on the Tunnel of Love, it's like so, like, if my wife kissed me on the Tunnel of Love, I'd be like, really?
Okay.
Because it's here.
Stop. This needs to be addressed. My first thought was the Tunnel of Love, right? Okay, but stop for a second and think.
Oh my God. Holy shit, Justin.
What?
You're right.
Seriously, though, media has perpetrated a lot of lies on us growing up as kids, especially like old cartoons. I've never in my entire adult life, I've traveled all across this great land of ours. I've never, ever, ever seen a Tunnel of Love. I've seen a fake Mario Brothers castle that kids could run around in and fall and die. Like, I've seen a spaceship that spins around so fast that you stick to the walls. I've never seen a tunnel of love of in my love. Entire
because
life.
It's essentially what a tunnel of love is a timed hand job challenge. are you tough enough? You have 118 seconds. Go! Uh-oh. Look up ahead. Do you hear the clown music?
You better hurry. You better hurry and finish to the clown music.
That's when the camera flashes.
Yeah. Do you want to buy your pictures? I don't. Please don't show the pictures.
What? I think some real next level smooching would happen on bumper cars, but here's the thing.
Oh my
God. Separate cars.
Mm. Yeah. Mm.
You so have to bump to smooch.
Okay. It's kind of like that scene in Fast 5, or maybe Fast 6, where Vin catches Letty in the air, and because their cars crash into each other, mm-hmm. or something
like
that.
Or like that scene, I think it's Fast 5, where The Rock and Vin Diesel pull up next to each other and smooch.
And they kiss. They crash their cars into each other, and like, you want to fight? Like, no, I have a better idea. And they do kiss right there.
Mm-hmm.
Man. Why did he turn evil, though? I'm still so torn up inside about
it. Was about family.
It was about family, but it's not anymore. Damn it.
Damn it. Here's a question.
What's a...
Here, I got another question.
Okay.
Did you have something else you want to say about Fast and Furious? I've always wanted to talk about Fast and the Furious on our podcast,
There's so many different rides at an amusement park where you could kiss on.
I think the best one would be at Universal Studios, the Fast and the Furious. There's a part... in the tram ride where it's like, hey, here's this used to be where we filmed Desperate Housewives, and here's the back lot where we film all of our street scenes, and now it's Dominic Toretto and gang, and they're with us. What's that? There's a bad guy trying to catch us. We're in a tram, but it's souped up, and let's take a jump. It's like, whoa, hold on,
it's what weird happened? How they do that at Universal, and they're like, here we are, and there's the lot where we filmed whatever the fuck, and here was some bad movie that we filmed here, and then what's that? The tram's in the middle of a flood, and it's like, no, you can't be like, sense. Here's a tour of Universal, and then you're imperiled.
They also have that studio tour at Universal Studios Florida. Nothing is filmed there.
Like,
you're not
going to
see any celebs.
There's Duck Dynasty and end of tour.
When Teresa and I went to the Universal Studios, someone got very excited because there was like a board like posted on a wall that showed what TV shows are filmed at that studio. And one of them was like Mindy Project. And I saw this family lose their fucking minds that they were like, they filmed Mindy Project here. And I was like, not here though. Like, not in a place you're going to go.
Where's
Why
Mindy?
Are you so excited? It Mindy. Might as well have said, like, this is where we film Cheers. Like, here, like, yeah, you're not going to see it. They don't have to prove that to you.
Yeah, you say that, but when we took the NBC studio tour, when we went up into AH, you know we were losing it. You know we were flipping out.
That is true.
Thinking about that's where fucking Brian Fellows had done his thing. And the fucking, if you think about it for a second, Travis, Studio AH is, where I said a bottle of sparkling apple juice to your house, did you get it? Was actually filmed, if you think about it.
This is like when I went to Nickelodeon Studios and they let us walk onto the set of the Mystery Files of Shelby Woo.
I want to get to this last question because it's so fucking good.
Please.
My dad admitted to me that he had never seen Willy Wonka. Now here, then it gets more Buck Wild.
Oh my God!
He's a huge fan of Gene Wilder. So I told him to watch it. After a year of trying to get him to watch Willy Wonka, I finally bought him a Blu-ray player with a copy of Willy Wonka. That was 3 years ago. Every time I see him, I beg him to watch Willy Wonka, and he watches reruns of MASH and Big Bang Theory instead. You guys are my last hope. How do I convince you to watch this movie?
Oh my God,
In fact, a question asked here, and I didn't include it in the list here, but in the email also included their dad's phone number so we could call their dad, I guess, ostensibly call their dad to tell their dad, hey, we're three people you don't know, but fucking watch Willy Wonka, old man.
Yeah, please watch Willy Wonka for a second.
This is fucking stellar. Are you kidding me? This is the best question. I love Vin Diesel. Oh, yeah, man. Fast and Furious. Fast and the who now?
Who? Well, I'm more of a Boiler Room kind of guy.
Holy shit. Huge fan of Gene Wilder. Haven't seen the Willy Wonka movie, but the Frisco Kid is awesome.
Now, I will say this.
Great flick.
Gene Wilder does have a body of work where you could conceivably be a huge fan of the man and not see Willy Wonka. I don't want to disparage
his other work.
Like fucking the...
Frisco Kid rules. That's fair.
Like he basically rolls in everything. Like fucking watch Silver Streak and don't come away a huge fan of Gene Wilder. It's literally impossible.
But the difference here is like that all holds true the first time you bring it up to your dad and you're like... So what about Willy Wonka? And he's like, what? And you're like, Willy Wonka? a movie that like is an amazing character study, like by Gene Wilder. It's like an acting class to watch this and you're like, oh, okay, cool. Never gonna watch it. It's love like, the man's work.
It's like arguably like between, I would say between Heath Ledger Joker and Gene Wilder's Willy Wonka for like literally the best performance by any actor in any movie. Literally ever. Like, I don't think yeah. there's a better one.
Heath Ledger's Joker, Jared Leto's Joker.
And then right there, three with a bullet.
Gene Wilder's Joker. He would have been great. Are you kidding me? Oh, my God.
God, that would have been good. He would have been Riddler. He would have been an amazing Riddler.
Oh, my God, Tress, that's even better. Or Clock King. Man, that motherfucker could have been any of them.
Could have been Calendar Man. Fucking, he could have been Batman.
Could have been, this is my 65-year-old Ward Robin.
Hello, the Batman Future Show. Damn it!
Just put the movie
just in. Put it on! Just strap your dad in, fucking Clockwork Orange, your dad! Now, and make him watch this culturally important film!
It is gonna be a weird 20 minutes where your dad's like, it's just old people in a bed. Like, no, listen. Why is this kid so sad? He's buying so much chocolate. And, okay,
Dad, you're gonna
hang in there.
You're gonna love this movie, Dad. There's so much candy. I've been watching it for 20 minutes. Not even seen a single sweet. Where's this fat kid?
And this kid in front of a TV. What the fuck?
There's a very spoiled girl, but where's the sweets, Jeremy?
Where's and my Gene?
There has been very little of my favorite actor, Gene Wilder, from the Frisco Kid.
Showed in the movie and he said, oh, Gene Wilder, I was thinking of somebody else.
I was thinking of
Gene Hackman. Love that guy's work.
I love Gene Hackman stuff. Fucking tail wag dog or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Wag the dog, the tail. Love him. He in that, probably.
The problem with watching it, like, for the first time, sight unseen, is there's a chance he'll think Arthur Slugworth is the protagonist, and he'll start rooting for him from the jump. I like the look of this Slugworth guy. He's got goals, priorities. He's a mover and a shaker.
For some reason, I look and sound like him.
Do you think Mike TV's last name was TV, or that was just a nickname they called him because he liked TV?
His last name is T-E-E-V-E-E. Mike TV.
That's a weird choice by Roald Dahl, because none of the other kids are named that way.
Yeah. My name's Augustus Fat Candy.
Yeah, like, it's just such a weird, like, and Mike TV. I'll come up with something better later.
Yeah, I'll figure it out later. Whatever.
It might be T-E-A-V-E-E.
I like to think that if I was a pornographic film actor, I would be called Augustus Fat Candy.
Excuse me, just one moment. Could I just have a moment of your time? I Googled to check my spelling of Mike TV, and on the Wikipedia page, the Roald Dahl wiki page for Mike TV, there is a behind-the-scenes fact that the original name for Mike TV was going to be Herpes Trout.
Get the fuck out of the door.
Hey, Roald!
Roald,
I read through your manuscript here. We were so excited to publish your new book. Couple notes. We felt like the pacing was a little off the first 20 minutes. Also, one of the kids is named Herpes.
Yeah, one of the children is a sexually diseased fish, and maybe we could roll that back a little. We could roll to that back a little bit. What do you say?
And also, maybe instead of being a kid who's obsessed with sexually diseased fish, he just watches a lot of TV.
Watches a lot of television, and there can be a bit of a morality tale there. I know what I need. All men sound like this to Griffin.
I'm gonna have to rethink the whole book now.
My life is basically like Anomalisa, where every man who isn't one of you two, basically, just,
hey, Griffin, you wanna come watch the Royal Rumble today?
Yeah, sure.
So anyway, this has been My Brother, My Brother and Me. It's an advice show for the modern era. We hope you've enjoyed yourself. We have some exciting announcements for a change.
We're doing things again.
We're
shaking off our torpor.
Against all odds, we're doing things again. So first off, and we don't have specifics on this, but the trailer for our show is going to drop this week at some point, maybe today, maybe tomorrow.
This is like This is like a super cut trailer with clips. Like,
have y'all seen it? Because we saw the original trailer, but there was far too much cursing in it. Was
yeah, we actually thing? Had an original cut that we loved that had
like seven F words in it.
Fucks in it, and then we cut those out. It's still very good, and like it's you're not missing good. Anything because we just say that word when we can't think of a funny thing to say. So you're not missing much, mm-hmm. but. That trailer will go up somewhere this week, so keep an eye on at MBMBAM or our Facebook page, and we'll be sure to retweet it from there. Also, we are doing a live show in Portland, Oregon on March 18th.
That's going to be part of the XOXO Fest, which we're excited to be a part of. And yeah, it's our first live show in fuck dudes. What was the last live show we did? Candle Nights in September?
Yeah.
Yes, Griffin. Then we had babies.
Then we all had babies. Mm-hmm. Yeah, damn it.
But, we need, Trav, you need to gin up a, bit.ly link for this.
Okay. I'll do it right now.
Okay.
How about Mabimbam XOXO?
Yeah, that's good.
Cool.
MBMBAM bit.ly/MBMBAMXOXO. And,
we need to address, is the XOXO Fest, is that Zozo? Is he haunting us again?
Is that Zozo? Back in the mix.
Damn it.
But that's going to be March 18th, doors at 6, show at 7, my brother and me, the podcast. So that'll be popping off.
We're also in the process of planning another live show for later in the spring. And details to follow.
Details to follow, but soon, should follow soon. As soon as we have dates, because we know it's like an issue for people to like clear up schedule times and things like that. It's going to be a single city jam, like our Boston
single city affair, yeah.
Show. But it's going to be fun. So
fun and good.
We'll let you know.
Thank you to John Roderick and the Long Winters for the use of our theme song "Into Departure" off the album "Putting the Days to Bed." It's a wonderful album that you need to have. Have it somehow. I also want to thank Max Fun for having us. You can go to MaximumFun.org. Check out all the great podcasts there. They're all free and they're all super great. You're going to love listening to them. I guarantee it. I've got shows like Throwing Shade and Stop Podcasting Yourself. And they have shows like One Bad Mother and Lady to Lady. Really, really good podcasts you can go listen to all at MaximumFun.org. If you want to hear more podcasts from us or want to see video stuff that we do, you can go to McElroyShows.com. You can find all our contact info and PO boxes and how to get in touch with us all at McElroyShows.com.
Is that it? We done?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
Got a final Yahoo here from Morgan Davey. Keep it wavy, Morgan Davey. Thank you, Morgan. It's by Yahoo Answers user. Gabriel the Angel. Who asks? Where can I get free clarinet sheet music of Linkin Park?
My name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
This has been my brother, being kissed your dad square on the lips.
My name is Patrick.
My name is Ariel.
My name is Joe Coughlin. The first time I went to MaxFunCon, I didn't know anyone. I was really nervous about that.
Everyone said not to worry about going alone, that I'd make friends right away, that I'd have an amazing time. It turns out, everyone was right.
I instantly had 200 new friends.
I've made lifelong friends at MaxFunCon that I'm going to keep in touch with for the rest of my life.
If you aren't sure if you belong at MaxFunCon, you belong.
Don't be like me. Don't waste 2 years being too nervous. Just go already.
Join Ariel, Patrick, and Joe at MaxFunCon. Tickets for MaxFunCon and MaxFunCon East are on sale now at MaxFunCon.com.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.